Now, in the excerpts from the child-rearing pedagogues that Alice provides, consider what it would feel like to be the child labored over, they use that phrase, by these manipulative sadists who were once themselves labored over. Consider what the experience of being labored over tells the child about his or her time, aka their lives. That it's not their own, that they are owned by this person who can halt their thought process and numb all emotion but fear. In fact, halt their thought process with fear. And consider as well what turning us into functionaries, automatons of a system requires. It requires that we have no thought process, that we follow orders without question, that we have no will of our own. Recall Alice's words from last week. Quote, if primary emphasis is placed upon raising children so that they are not aware of what is being done to them or what is being taken from them, of what they are losing in the process, of who they otherwise would have been and who they actually are. And if this is begun early enough, then as adults, regardless of their intelligence, they will later look upon the will of another person as if it were their own. How can they know that their own will was broken since they were never allowed to express it? Unquote. What this means, perhaps, for getting our true selves back is that it requires recovering our thought process, restarting it from where it got hijacked with fear. The lived pace of force is fast. Power wants us to obey orders without question, be as much like machines as possible. But the pace of freedom, once we are living it, slow. And I'm not talking about our response to the totalitarian threat today. That threat we are confronted with is enormous, which means we have no choice but to react and create our alternative apace. Alice is right. We have no choice but to fight back on multiple fronts. As the process we're in defines what it requires of us. And if we are living the freedom we want to see, helping our brothers and sisters empathically to face that early fear that was so debilitating without our perhaps recognizing it as such, we must consider that early experience. The sense that our time is not our own is deeply tied to the fear that we are on our own because of the frowns and the judgment from those that we depend on most for literal survival. After which, we must then be ever busy to prove ourselves worthy, to then attempt to claim ourselves with this worm eating means to intervene in and abolish that negative cycle. So if fear halts the thought process, how do we break the logjam of fear? Again, we consider the circumstances in which it was planted, translated into the language of feeling that children know, but we have lost. What would the judgment, the frowns, the endless lessons and examinations mean? If not, I'm not good enough. He doesn't love me. And if whatever you did was met with judgment and you didn't know why, beyond not being good enough, and you, in quotes, and you were subject to, utterly dependent on, this ruthless authority. Samuel Butler is absolutely right. We'd be like that puppy with the shade that drops over his face. Would this not set us up for a lifetime of trying to please, of seeking the master's praise? A perfect way of things for those who want to suck on our energy, to sculpt a world in their own image.